And thank you for joining us today in downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message from our pastor, Gary Washburn.
Thank you, worship team. I like being able just to... I would call this, if I was going to call this a specific type of service where it was very spontaneous, I'd call it flow. Because the Holy Spirit is free to flow. He's in charge. He says, move, we move. He says, stop, we stop. And I like the worship team being able to flow with God. And I've been praying that I'll flow with God now. And I want to share with you this living word that's a right now word for you, for me, and I don't know how he's going to apply it to you or to me, but it's a word from the Lord, and I want to remind you that it's really four words based out of Isaiah 55. Come, listen, buy, and eat. If you'll come to God and ask for a word from him about some situation you're facing, he'll give you a word, but you got to come to him. Not that he's not with you. God's always with us when we're born from above. His spirit lives in us. I understand that. But there's a coming that you bring to the meeting with God, and that is a coming to an awareness that he's with you. And you are not distracted by anything, but your focus is on looking to him and listening for him. However he may communicate through nature, through the scripture, through a prophetic word from somebody. You can be watching a television show and you know that God's spoken to you through something that was said. You can. Has that ever happened to anybody? You're watching a television show and something was said by some character or something, and you go, I know God had that for me to hear that, because that was something I've heard either repeatedly or something I needed to hear. One time I was in a nursing home. I got called to come visit a couple that their mother was dying. She was in a nursing home right over here in Wildwood. So I went over there and I was with them, and the fella had his guitar out and he was playing guitar, some music that his mother-in-law liked to hear, and we knew she was dying. And the daughter was there, and I came in and I prayed for the little lady. She was unconscious. She was a Christian. She was going home to be with the Lord, and they were just trying to make the atmosphere really a wonderful atmosphere for her. And so we prayed, and then we sang some of the songs she liked to hear as we stayed around her. And then after a while, we just stopped, and then we just were chatting with one another, because she's unconscious there, you know, but we believe she's hearing us. But we just chatted back and forth. And I looked down, and I could see that her chest wasn't moving. And I looked a little closer, and then I said to the lady, I said, Beverly, I think your mom just passed. I think she went on into glory, you know. And I kid you not, as soon as I said that out of my mouth, I heard these words loud, and they heard it too. I commit your spirit unto God. I mean, my eyes popped open. I heard that, and I looked at Beverly and I looked at Scott. I said, did you hear that? And they said, yeah. And we looked over there, and then we heard some more words, and we pulled back a curtain. There was a little lady next door. She just turned on her TV. It was a soap opera. And there was a priest there giving last rites to somebody at that particular moment that she turned the TV on. And as soon as she turned the TV on, we heard the priest say, the actor say, unto your spirit, I commit your spirit unto God, or something like that. And I just, wow, God, you sure have a great way, great timing. But God can speak to you through anything. Don't limit. Don't look and say, well, that was a coincidence. No, 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 no. When God's in your life, there is no coincidence. And if you're a spiritual person, you understand that. You're sensitive, and you'll pick up on things that other people won't pick up on. Other people may walk by the world, not even notice that billboard just spoke to you. You know God was talking to you through that billboard. You know God gave you an answer to prayer through something somebody said to you. I've had a lost man talk to me, and I could tell God was talking to me through that lost man's words. The things he said, I walked away and said, wow, God, you can use anybody. And like Geraldine said this morning, if God can use a jackass, he can use anybody. But we got to come to God purposely, intentionally. I'm seeking you, God, and I'm shutting out all the other distractions. I'm coming to you, Lord, in faith. I know you're with me, but I'm coming to you to hear one word from you. That's all I need, sir. I'm coming to you. Ezekiel had a vision of the temple of God in Ezekiel 47. And he saw the temple of God, big building, and underneath the threshold of the door of the temple of God, he saw water trickling out, coming toward him. And this water turned into a river. And it was to represent the presence of the Lord. Now, God is with us. He's present with us, but his presence is not always manifested unless we exercise faith. Ezekiel 47, verse 1, the scripture says, Ezekiel says, he brought me again to the door of the house of the Lord, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold, from down under, on the south side of what? The altar. This is a picture of the river of God. It's a picture of the Holy Spirit ministering. God is the source. He sends his river to us. He sends the Holy Spirit. Just like Jesus said in John 7, he says, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. God's Spirit is like this. I believe that God's Spirit is in me, but God also, he flows upon me. Like an anointing comes upon me. He gives me words and thoughts and illustrations I haven't even thought of. He'll lead me to do something I haven't even thought of. He'll come upon me. And here's the part is that now I've got to flow with him. I've got to exercise faith. And if I believe God's leading me to witness to David over here, then I've got to step out and exercise faith and start doing that. You say, well, how do you know that's really God or not? You probably won't know until after the fact. You're going to have to take some risk to walk with God. Are you going to miss it sometimes? Probably, because you're learning. We're all learning, and God understands that. But you've got to take risk, and you've got to step out and say, I believe the Holy Spirit has had me go this direction. And notice that the river flows from the altar. That's very important. What's an altar? An altar is a place of surrender. Jesus said, if you're thirsty, come to me. He's the altar. His altar was the cross. His ultimate place of surrender was the cross. And at the cross, he surrendered. I don't know what your cross is, but it's ultimately Jesus, but there's a place and a time that you come to probably every day in your life where you're either going to surrender and let God have his way with you, or you're going to resist him. And when you surrender to him, you start to flow. The river starts to move. It's in you, but now it's flowing from you and throughout other people. That's what God wants. He wants this church not to just to be a place we come and get blessed, but he wants every single one of us to be rivers of living water that go out and flow into the community, and we touch people. God wants to flow through us and touch people all around us, not just in the church. We sing a song. In one of our songs, some of the words go, at the cross I bow my knees. Where your blood was shared for me. There is no greater love than this. In other words, where it all begins is with surrender. I'm going to bow my knees to you, Lord Jesus. You're the Lord of my life. If you want me to look like a fool, I'll look like a fool. If you want me to walk around and pick up garbage on the side of the road, I'll be your garbage man. See, it really is going to be surrender on our part, and that is an act of worship. That's when we're worshiping. And I know that we have issues with pride, and we all have to deal with the fear of man, and God will challenge us on that and give you opportunities every week, probably every day, for an opportunity to surrender to Him. And the more you surrender to Him, the more of the flow begins to flow through you. Now, that's been my experience. And so it begins, we begin to worship when we can see the glory of God in a situation. And we bow in submission. We say, yes, sir, you are the Lord. I follow you. This is your church. You can do what you want to do. Sometimes we'll get it right. Sometimes we'll get it wrong. But we're going to step out and trust God by faith and let the Holy Spirit lead His church the way He wants it led. My biggest issue is getting out of the way. And that's your biggest issue too. And sometimes my biggest issue is not stepping out and doing as best I can tell, I believe God wants me to do this. This service tonight, I believe God was telling me this morning, don't be in a hurry. I didn't know all the various things are going to happen, but I knew some of it. But He was telling me, don't be in a hurry to go up there and just, spit out a message that I've given you. Treat it with greater respect than that. Just come back tonight. Give the people a little bit now and give them the rest of it tonight and respect my word. And so, I had to listen to that and I was praying, God, am I make sure I'm hearing you? Because I've missed you sometimes. But if I'm hearing you, then you'll honor that. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes God says amen with a clap of thunder. Amen. I like that. Heavenly props. I like heavenly props. Thank you, Father. Because we're here to see the glory of God. We're here to see that glory. Part of this prophecy, I won't take a lot of time, but part of this prophecy of Ezekiel is that God was telling Ezekiel that there's going to come a day that God's river is going to flow out of his stream. And it's going to go into the waste places. It's going to go into the barren places. And it's actually like a picture, for example, this is a picture of the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea in Israel is a massive place. It's a fascinating place. It's one of my favorite places to go besides Galilee. I just like that desert area there. But Ezekiel prophesied, I don't know if you know this, Ezekiel prophesied that one day this Dead Sea called the Salt Sea, nothing lives in it, by the way. Not a fish, not one living thing, because it's so salty. It has an inlet, but it has no outlet. That's the same thing that'll happen to your life. If you have an inlet, you just come and receive, 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 and you never give out. So this Dead Sea is prophesied by Ezekiel the prophet that one day this Dead Sea where there's no fishermen, and notice there's no trees on the bank, there's no green stuff growing, nothing can grow there, nothing can live inside this Dead Sea, that one day God says, this sea is actually going to have fish in it again, and there's going to be trees growing on the sides of it. The bitter water one day is going to be turned sweet. That's prophecy of the future. That's actually going to happen. I have with me right here a little bit of the Dead Sea water. I'd like a volunteer to come on up here, David, mighty man of God. Now, here's some water from the Jordan River. And you just dip your finger in there and taste that. It doesn't taste any different from any kind of other water, right?
Tastes like water.
Tastes like water. That's what it is, from the Jordan River. So you just drank a little bit of the Jordan River. Now, beware. Beware, this is water from the Dead Sea. Average water content of the Atlantic Ocean, the salt content, is 3.4%. I think it is. The average salt content of the Dead Sea is 34%. That's why there's no fish in it. Now, just put your finger on that. That's the Dead Sea. Put that on your tongue.
Whoa.
Whoa is a word. Whoa, yeah.
That's nasty.
It's pure. It's almost all salt. Thank you, David. Yeah, it's all salt. Now, and that's why nothing can live. Nothing can live in there. You see. Now, another picture of the Dead Sea is it's so salty you can float in it. And that's really cool. This is a true picture, guys. Sitting out there, he's not trying to hold his breath to float. You're so buoyant because of the salt. You don't want to get any in your eyes, that's for sure, because that can sure burn you. But it's so salty. I wanted you to see that, and so you can understand something. God intends to take the dead and bitter places of our lives that we have right now and make them live again. Make the water good again. How's he going to do that? From his temple flows living water. From his presence flows the living water that you and I need. And that temple is Jesus. And so you ought to ask God right now, since it's always been available to you, you ought to ask God, just take a moment and seriously ask the Holy Spirit to show you where you either intentionally or unintentionally have blocked the flow of living water. I'm going to do that too. I'm going to just shut my mouth in a minute and just ask God and just be still and see if God will reveal to me why I have some dry places in my life and some places in my life that are still barren when I've got the availability to have his living water come and change the Dead Sea into fresh water. So right now, just take 30 seconds, and you can carry it on at home, and just ask God, Holy Spirit, would you show me where I've either intentionally or unintentionally hindered the flow from your temple, your living water, into these barren places of my life that are not productive? Show me. I'll tell you what he just showed me. He said, it's coming. His water's coming. There's a time and a place for everything, and he has seasons. And he's talking to me now, that there's going to be a time when those barren places that I've been praying about and wondering about, how come they're dry, how come they're not productive, that's going to change. And I pray you get to see it. That's what he said to me in my heart. That's what I heard the Holy Spirit say. It's coming. Don't fret over it. It's coming. My living water is going to come into those places and turn your Dead Sea into fresh water again. Your part is to stay in the flow of the river that he already has going in your life. In Ezekiel chapter 47, verses 3 through 4, Ezekiel saw this water coming out from under the threshold by the altar and pouring out. And as he watched it, he noticed that at the first part of it, there was some ankle deep. And as he kept looking and kept going, then the water came up to knee deep. And you know, and then it came up to waist deep. And then it came up to chest deep. And then it just about swallowed a little boy up. You couldn't swim in it. I don't know where you're going, but... Oh, okay. Swim back now. But the point is this, is that you can get into the flow of God as much as you want. It's available. Ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, over your head. I crave for those times when I'm in way over my head. I absolutely love it when I'm being carried down by the river in ways that I go, I don't know how I got here, but here I am. I love that. And it needs to happen more. But the point is, that's available for everybody. And then God ask Ezekiel this question. Do you see this? What do you mean, do I see? Well, sure I see it. No, Ezekiel, do you see it? And I'm asking you, church, do you see what God's showing? Do you see what God's trying to make available? This is a question of spiritual perception. Do you see and recognize with your heart what God has been showing you? It's available. And if you see it, you can believe it. And the way you know you see it is you'll come for it. You'll come for it. Jesus said, come, I'll come. Well, where are you going? I don't know, but I'm coming to him. I don't care. That's right. I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care what I look like. I'll come. That's how you know if you see it. So if you see it, come to Jesus. He's got something for you. Second thing was not only come, but we need to listen. This is really, really vital. Isaiah says to the Lord says to Isaiah, he says, incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul may live. I don't know if you know this or not, but the scriptures, the written scriptures, are called the Logos word. That's a Greek word for the written word. That's the word of God. But then there is a word called a rhema, R-H-E-M-A, where God, by his spirit, he quickens, he makes a word alive to you. You may hear it in your ear, you may hear it in your mind, you may hear it in your heart, you may read it in scripture where something just leaps off the page at you, but you just know that it is a word from God to you. You just know God's talking to you. I can't tell you how do you know for sure. You just know. And when you get a word like that, you come alive. Man, your heart is awake and you are alert and you know that you've heard from God. You come alive, man, you live. And here, we have to realize that it is an effort on our part. The cooperation is, it isn't just going to happen. God is speaking many ways and many times to us, and many times we're not listening for his voice or listening, inclining our ear, being intentional. And when you hear from God, your soul will live. You light up. I've got a word from God. Now you can face this trial with courage. You've got your roots down deep. You're panic proof, man. You're fearless. Why? Because you've heard from God. I don't care what the doctor said. I've heard from God. I've got one word from God, and that's all I need. You come alive. If that's ever happened to you, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So how do you get this? How do you listen to God? How do you hear God? How do you recognize his voice? You got to be intentional about coming to him. And when you come to him by faith, you listen by faith. Trust it. God knows how to communicate to you. He knows how to speak to you in a way that you'll recognize. He ain't going to leave you out there wondering, was that God? He knows how to communicate to you. But it's going to take faith on your part, and you're going to have to listen. Moses was called by God to meet him up in a mountain. God said to Moses, come up here to this mountain and I'm going to meet with you. So Moses made his way up the mountain and he was there and he's there waiting to meet with God. And one day goes by, 2 days, 3, 4, 7 days before he hears a word from God. Now, why did God say, Moses, come up here on the mountain, I want to meet with you, and then not talk to him for 7 days? A lot of people would have done this. I'm here. Hallelujah. I'm in your presence, God. I'm here just like you said. I'm ready to hear from you, sir. God, you got 20 minutes and I gotta go someplace. I gotta go to work tomorrow. I got an appointment. You start to find out what's really important to you. We say while we're in church, there's nothing more important than hearing God. There's nothing more important than God speaking to you. But not everybody who says that really means it. God had Moses wait 7 days before he spoke to him. If Moses had got up and said, well, I must have missed God on that one and went back down the mountain, he'd have missed what God had for him. We have soaking coming up this Friday in church. Alice Beecraft heads that up. Alice, would you stand for us? Everybody know who, so they know who you are. Soaking is something we started in this church years ago. And we learned it from other churches and learned it from Toronto and things like that, where we learned about coming into the presence of God and just learning to be still. Usually there's some soft music playing, maybe instrumental. Sometimes it's words with music. But the whole point is to be like, you're like a snow globe. You know, a snow globe, you'd shake it, you know, and all that stuff's flying around. And you need times where you just come and sit and tell your mind, be still. Tell your body, be still. Tell your soul, be still. And know God. And the early church fathers used to discipline themselves to practice solitude and stillness. I don't know many people that do that anymore, other than monks or something like that, you know, that people I don't know many people that practice solitude and stillness. I have to have it myself. I thank God that I believe he should. So we have this called soaking on Friday night. That's what this is. It's the time to just come, and not a lot of people show up. I don't think they understand what it's all about. People will come and they'll say, well, you know, I came, but I didn't hear anything from God. I can't tell you how many times I've come to soaking, not heard a word from God. And you're tempted to think, God's not there. But he was there in the silence. And he gave you a gift of silence because you needed it. But you're tempted to think nothing happened. I prayed. I asked God to talk to me. Nothing happened. Yeah. You showed up for listening practice. That's what you showed up for. And if you walk away with a negative confession, you're going to lose the value and the benefit of what God intended you to get. Maybe you just need to practice listening. Maybe you just need to learn to be still. I had a dream this week that confirmed to me this message. This week I had this dream where I was waiting in a long line of people to get into a jail or prison to see a very famous prisoner. And it was known all over the place that there was something about this prisoner. People were coming from all over the world, and they would wait in a long line to get in and just pass by. This prisoner, he's in a cell. He was behind plexiglass, and they just because when they were there, they were in his presence, and in his presence was the presence of God. It was so glorious. And so people were waiting in line at this jail, and I got in line, and I got permission and access from the guard there to go in with. It's a whole line of people. You just kept going in one after another like this, And then you come before this prisoner behind plexiglass, and you start feeling the glory of God. Now, there'll be some times that this prisoner would turn around, and he would just start speaking. And as he spoke, Man, people were so blessed by his words. But then there would be sometimes he'd be laying on his cot with his back toward everybody, not saying a word, but still, just by being in his presence, you were blessed. And so my time came, and I'm in this line of people, and I'm coming through, and I'm hoping there's going to be one of them times he's awake, you know, where he's going to be speaking. And sure enough, I get in there, and I see him behind the plexiglass, and his back, he's laying on his cot, and his back's turned to me. And I go, oh, at first, I'm a little disappointed. But the glory of God, the presence of God was so strong, I just was had my hands raised. Everybody had their hands raised as we're walking in line here and just enjoying the presence. All of a sudden, the guy right here in front of me taps me on the shoulder. I said, what? 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 He says, can I touch you? I said, what? He said, can I touch you? I said, no. He said, oh, please, come on, let me touch you. And he touched me again. I said, quit it. I'm enjoying it. And he kept touching me. I said, stop it. And he kept on, and he touched me again. I said, don't do it again, or I'm going to slap the snot out of you. Just like that. And sure enough, he did it again. And just that moment, I kicked that fast. And I'm in my bed at night. And so I kicked the sheet just like that. And I think Pam reached over her hand, as she sometimes does, and just calmed me down, because sometimes I've had some violent dreams where I'm a ninja warrior or something. I don't know what it is. But I kicked that sheet or whatever, and she calmed me. And I woke up. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. I thought, what in the world was that? I didn't really think too much of it, other than I just rolled over and tried to go back to sleep, but I couldn't sleep the next 2 hours. So I got up in the morning at the breakfast table, and I told Pam about it. And as soon as I told her about me being in this line and this seeing this prisoner, I said, I'm not sure what that was. And as soon as I got done saying that, I waited just for a few seconds. And ding, 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 I got understanding. The prisoner was God. I don't know why he was a prisoner, but the prisoner was God. People were coming all over the world just to get into his presence. They loved it when they got a word from him. That was even more special. But sometimes he wouldn't speak. And when he didn't speak, you still got blessed. Don't be disappointed, church, when you don't say, I don't hear anything from God. Just by faith, soak up his presence. That's okay, Father. When you're ready to speak, I'm ready to listen. But if you don't speak, as long as I'm in the awareness of your presence, that's really all that matters. Are you with me? And this is the important part of learning to listen. When you say, hear God, people always think I'm hearing a voice or this and that. And sometimes you may, and in a variety of ways, things like that may happen. But the point is that the guy in front of me who kept tapping me on the shoulder, who was that? That was the devil. That was the devil. He was distracting me from the presence. I'm enjoying. He's, hey, can I touch you? No. He's a distraction. The devil is in distractions. And distractions come in all kinds of forms. When you're reading your Bible and all of a sudden your mind just, I've got to, oh, we'll pay this bill today and whatever. Wonder why you thought of that right then. Most people don't see that as Satan. That's Satan working. A distraction can come in the form of while you're in church service. And all of a sudden, someone's coughing or something, or somebody's moving around or making it. And next thing you know, your eyes and your mind is off that word or off the worship that you were giving God. And you're over here watching this person who's just kind of maybe walking around, scratching their head or something, wondering, what in the world are they doing? That can be a distraction from the enemy. I'm not saying they're of the enemy. I'm just saying they're used of the enemy. You got something you want to share, honey? You're not trying to be. See what I'm talking about? No.
Bad timing. When you were telling about your dream, yeah, and you said you realized it was Satan who was aggravating you, and what I got out of that was you're not going to let anything move you that one way or the other. You're staying focused on your goal.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. That's what I got out of it.
Thank you. Thank you, sweetheart. That's good, honey. Good, good. I pray that. I have been easily distracted before, like well, but we got to pay attention and recognize distractions, especially when we're paying attention to the things of God, where we're in the Word or we're in worship or we're in church. Pay attention, because Satan is using distractions. Listen to God, but there are going to be distractions. So hang on to that. That's very important. Now, someone said that the louder our world becomes, the deeper God seems to remain in silence. Early church fathers used to practice sitting in solitude. I have a picture on the wall in our intercessory prayer room of Quakers, old-time Quakers back in the 1800s, and their service was a waiting service, and they would just sit there, and they had the children and everything. They didn't have a nursery. They didn't have a children's church, so the children had to learn at an early age how to be still, how to be quiet, and they'd take a nap or whatever, but we got a picture of these Quakers, and what they're doing, they're just sitting. No music. They're just sitting, waiting. And at the right time, the Holy Spirit would prompt one of them to speak something. And I love that picture, because you can see vaguely a little outline of Jesus there, like the Spirit, and he's with those people. He's blessing them. His presence, he's blessing them. When you become a house of prayer, when you pray, God's with you. Every time you pray, God's with you. He's with you even when you don't pray. But I'm saying that especially when you pray, when you're in worship, God's with you. Don't be distracted by the devil's distractions. There's a silence that needs to happen in our bodies. That's why we have this soaking service. There's a time where you need to make your body be silent. There's a time you need to make your mind be silent. There's a time you need to bring your heart into the presence of God and shut out all the distractions, all the cares. Because what you're doing in this time of soaking is that you're bringing your life back into harmony with the Creator, who created you for fellowship and communion. He created you for this purpose, and you've got all kind of distractions going on in your body and your mind and your heart, and you need a time where you just come in and be still. If you hear something wonderful, if you don't hear anything, just stay focused on God. One of my favorite scriptures is Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I'm God. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. I love that. That's a constant reminder to me. I have a little picture. I have that scripture in my office here. I have it at home. It's a constant reminder to me. Gary, you start to get frantic, you start to panic, you start to worry, you start to get anxious. Be still. Know God is right there with you. He's never left you. He'll never forsake you. He's with you. He's there to help you. It's beautiful that Psalm 46 begins with earthquakes. It begins with the ocean roaring. It begins with the world being in turmoil on the outside. And yet then God calls us to all the quiet waters on the inside where He rules. Be still. I don't care what's going on out here, what they're saying, what they're shouting, what the noises are, what the doctor's saying, what your finances are saying. There are always voices out there, but on the inside. So you can be that unshakable, panic-proof Christian. You've learned the secret that the world doesn't know anything about. Be still. Come to the waters, that's the source. Number two, listen, because you really come alive when you get one word from God. That's all you need. Listen to God and live. Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word, every rhema, every personal word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God's got personal words for you, but you got to listen. And whatever you believe you hear from the Spirit of God, confirm it in the written word as much as possible. And then number three, when you think you've got a word from God, buy it. Buy it. Everybody say, buy it. Buy it. That's what Scripture says. Isaiah 55, 2, buy wine, buy milk without money and without price. Buy it. The wine represents the Holy Spirit. Milk represents the Word of God. God says, come. Listen. Now buy it. What you hear, you've got to buy into. To buy it is to trust yourself to this Word, to believe it. What God's quickened to you, what God showed you, what God spoke to you, and you know God spoke to you about something. That's what you've got to believe. It's like hearing somebody tell you something, and then you begin to question, and you say, well, you know, I don't think I buy that. I've been teaching on communion on Wednesday nights and how there's healing in that communion bread. There's healing in that. Jesus provided that for the church. But a lot of people are going to look at us, well, I don't know if I buy that or not, you know. I guess you have to have personal revelation about something. God's got to show you and speak to you. You got to come to Him. And when He shows you something, you buy it. You say, oh, I buy that. A lot of people this morning, when I started talking about tithing, which I wasn't planning on doing, started talking about tithing. A lot of people said, you know, I don't buy all that. That's just the church's way of trying to get money. So they don't buy it. When you get a word from God, you've got to buy it. You're going to have to spend something, your time, your faith. I buy this for myself. Isaiah 55:2 says, why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your earnings for which does not satisfy that thirst inside you? Why do you do that? You're spending your life on something. All you have is your life. All you have is your breath today, right now. That's all you have. You're spending it by, right now, you're spending it by being here tonight rather than being home watching television. You bought something. You believe that when the pastor said, I'm going to finish this word tonight, it's a word for you, you ought to come be here. You bought it. I hope I wasn't wrong. Is there a refund? Yeah. Once you spend it, it's gone, brother. Once you spend your life, it's over. You spend your life on things that are foolish, you can't get it back. You have regret. Spend it on something that will satisfy. Jesus said, come to me. I'll satisfy you. You either buy that or you don't. And the last and final thing is this. Come, listen, buy, now eat it. Eat it. Eat the word that you believe God's given you. Take it. It's mine. God gave it to you. It's bread. It's life. It's meant for you to take it in. Don't just read it. Oh, that was cute. That was nice. No. Eat. Isaiah 55:2 says, eat what is good. Let your soul delight itself in spiritual joy or fatness. So when you eat the word, one word from God, one word He's quickened to you, one word that you right now are questioning and wondering whether or not that really is a word from God or is that just your mind, you're going over it with the Holy Spirit. He's going to show you. He'll confirm to you that one word you get from God, once you finally have settled on the fact that that's a word from God, you buy it. Then you eat it. You put it in you. You meditate on it. You think on it. You pray it. You pray it back to God. By meditating, you're in thinking on it. You're pondering on it. You quote it back. You talk to God about it. You ingest it. You're feeding yourself the Word of God from God. This is what you got from Him. It will make your soul come alive. You eat it. And it's like food. When we eat food, we take it and we put it in our mouth. We chew it. We swallow it with saliva. It goes down into our stomach and goes through our intestines, and it's digested. Just eating is not digestion. There's a whole process. But that food you eat becomes skin. It becomes hair. It becomes tissue. It becomes bone. You are what you eat. Some of you are chocolate chip cookies. Some of you are a Whopper. but it becomes, the food you eat turns into your flesh. And the same thing is true when you get a word from God about something, when God's dealt with you about forgiving people. And that's something that I think over the last few years, God's really dealt with up with me on and with us, and that is learning just to forgive. Freely, as God's freely forgiven you, you forgive. Just forgive. And when you eat this enough, it becomes you. So you eat the scriptures about forgiveness, you become forgiveness. It's easy to forgive if you've ate it. Or love, learning to love people unconditionally without judging them. That's something that God has done in my life that I wasn't always that way, but I'm not 100% there, but I thank God I've come a long way, that I thank God now that I can look at people who are homeless people or people who are not doing the right thing, and usually my first thought is not a negative thought about them because I'm not qualified to judge them. I don't know why they do what they do. And so I think by His grace, pretty much I don't say anything bad about them. That's because I've been feasting on God's words about love, loving people. And I've begun to realize how much He loves me when I don't do the right thing, when I don't have the right attitude, or when I shoot my mouth off where I should keep it shut. And He loves me, and He's never condemned. God has never condemned me when I've been in outright sin. When I knew that what I did was wrong, and the first thing I wanted to come to Him was talk about it and say, you know, Lord, I know what I did was wrong, and I know You know it was wrong, and I just want to confess it to get it out of the way. He never brought it up to me. Now, it was right for me to confess it and do my part there, just clear it out of the way. But He never said, hey, how about that sin there? That's the way He treats me, so that's the way I'm going to treat you. I mean, that's how He treats me. He never treats me like, well, you dirty, rotten scoundrel, I'll talk to you after you confess this. No, He has loved me unconditionally like, and the only other person that's ever loved me that way is my wife. She's loved me unconditionally. I'd have thrown me out a long time ago. Don't be laughing, Pam. But I want to say this is how God treats you. You know, once you experience a life-giving word from God, how He deals with you, it changes how you deal with people. I heard someone say, oh, Pastor, you're humble and all this kind of... No, not really. I've just been dealt with by God. I've been dealt with by God. And a lot of times I just don't speak on things about people that maybe sometimes I should, but no, it's not humility. Sometimes it's been the fear of man that looks like humility. God's dealing with me on that, buddy. He's dealing with me on that right now, that I'm not to be afraid of anybody and what they think. I'm not there yet, but He's dealing with me. So I'm eating. So whatever you're feeding on, see, is what you're turning into. All right, I'm done when I say this. Four ways we review. We receive the living water, the life of God. First, we got to come to the waters. I appreciate the song, Grayson, tonight. Come to the waters. Come to the source. If you're dry and you're thirsty, and everybody has got some dry and thirsty places in their soul somewhere. I've never met anybody who doesn't have some place, have some dry thirst. Come to Jesus with it. Just come like you are and tell Him what you're thirsty for. God, I'm thirsty to see this church succeed and grow like I believe You want it to grow. I'm thirsty, Lord, to see this church prosper in a way where no one could say anything other than that had to be the hand of God. Yeah. And I have to make sure that I'm not thirsty to get that for myself so that it makes me look good. You see what I'm saying? I make sure I'm thirsty for the right things. Come, listen, slow down, listen, stop the hurry. That's one of the first things the Lord will deal with you on right away is that God's not in a hurry. And if you're in a hurry, then you just go on. Because he ain't going to hurry up for you or me. He's not in a hurry. You got to learn to listen. Mother Teresa said, listening is the beginning of prayer. Last few weeks, I've been doing something really strange, sitting out on my back porch. And before I even go into the scripture, before I pray a word, I just sit there and shut my mouth and listen. Sometimes 30 minutes, sometimes 45. Before I ever do anything, before I ever pray, before I ever go to scripture. And I've had God this past week, the other day, show me some things. What I'm showing you tonight, he starts showing me. I go, wow. Learn to listen. God really likes that. Do you buy what the Spirit is conveying to you? I don't know what the Spirit's been conveying to you lately. He's been conveying something. You may have to string it together to get the picture, but then you need to buy it. You need to say, oh, I buy it, Lord. You've been showing me that you want to correct this. I buy that, Lord. I welcome it. And then you need to eat it. Meditate upon whatever it is. Because digestion is not complete when you just eat. Well, I thank you, God, for the word. I've delivered it. Now you want to take a little one step further. Elders, I want to ask the elders to come up here and stand here with me. And Pam, and I don't see Miguel and Betsy, but I'm going to Pam, come up here and be with me. Elders, come on up here. And what I want you to do is some of you will stand this way and some of you will stand on this way. It's kind of like a tunnel. Okay. And people on both sides, some on this side facing this way and some over here. That's right. We're going to be a tunnel where people make a hole because people are going to walk through. So we need to come on over this way. There you go. Just like that. And this is what I believe the Lord showed me just this afternoon. He wants to bless his people with a sensitivity to his presence. Sometimes you need a touch from God. God knows that. But you don't depend on that. You don't depend on a feeling. God will touch you and bless you through people. This is his body. These are his people. These are your elders. They've been anointed by God. I'd like those of you who will just to come up here in a moment, just make a line right over here. There's communion on both sides of the auditorium. It'd be good to take communion right after you go through the line or take communion before. But I'd like a line of people to start forming here. Everybody who wants, and then you begin. I'd like to play the House of Prayer music, Grayson, if you don't mind, because I'd like you to come through this too. Okay? And Michelle, I'd like you to be able to come through this too. But we're going to do House of Prayer and just let that go. And if elders, if you get a word for somebody where you need to really give them a word, pull them aside so that we don't stop the flow.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped you move closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at gracetab.org. Have a blessed day.